This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
I have set these three people on the same radio program at the same time.
To get into the semantics of linguistics.
Oh, yeah, don't you know they're hay? I'm getting all Wisconsin
on you. Hey, hay. Hey, Mark, I think I know why the list, the downloads are going down. Get in the weeds about semantics.
It is Free Talk Live. You can call 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us tonight. In the studio, it's
Peakless Mountaineer,
Richie Rich.
And I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. You can join, well, me. Are you going Forkfest?
Oh, yeah.
You're not. You can join myself in Peakless.
I'm going to play Yahtzee instead.
And other, you can do that at Forkfest.
Okay.
And other liberty-minded.
So there's a tent for that.
Hey, I'm trying to do a live read here. Hush. You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. ForkFest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It is decentralized, which means there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms and even the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th.
And my favorite part, no metal detectors and no gun-free zones.
Well, there will be one metal detector.
What?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, is it one of those, like, ground metal detectors?
No, that's just me, like, you know, people watching. And if
see, he has a sixth sense for the metal.
Right. Yes, and so
kind of like science versus the science.
Okay.
He has a sense for the metal.
Imagine a goth detector.
Okay.
Right. I am the metal equivalent of goth. So if somebody's there judging whether or not somebody's goth, I'll be there just judging whether or not people are metal.
Got it.
And it, I don't even care if they are or not. You don't have to be or not be. Like, it doesn't matter to me whether you're metal or not.
You can have a clicker counter,
but
one metal.
I'll be like, yeah, that guy looks pretty metal. Yeah, they got no, not metal. I have to, like, subtract one somehow. Right, you know.
Can you do that with the clicker thing? Does it go back?
What about workplace accidents, deaths, dismembership? Is that metal?
Well, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know all that was metal.
Also, the answer to your question about the clicker thing is yes. You've seen these pens with the four different colored inks?
Yes.
You just have to press the right button to subtract versus add. So.
I've never had the opportunity to handle one of those counter clickers.
One of the counters will just count how many clicks, regardless of to whether or not it was plus or minus, right?
Okay.
Assuming plus is yes metal and minus is not metal.
Right.
So one will count the overall clicks that you've made, and then the other two will count, you know, metal versus not metal. So then at the end of the day or, you know, week or 2 weeks or whatever it is.
You could have a ratio of metal to non-metal at the same time.
That's right.
What the other colors do? There's four colors on that.
Well,
thing.
That's the pen.
Yeah, but not on the counter. Yeah. On the clicker, there's only three.
Oh.
Right. But I was just using some other mechanical device as a, you know, descriptor.
Look at that baby over
there. Clicker and counter clicker.
Totally not metal. Then he poops his diaper and runs across the field and like, dope, totally metal.
If he's flinging it, that might be metal.
Right.
You know? Or if he starts a spontaneous mosh pit with other babies, right, that would be totally metal. So, 603-283-6160 if you want to join us. Did we say who we are? I think we did.
I think so.
If not, he's Peakless, that's Richie, and I'm the captain.
Wild Stallions.
Man, George Carlin as Rufus.
Uh-huh.
Like, Like, there's only one other acting role I enjoyed him as much as Rufus.
Mr. Conductor?
No. Oh. Cardinal Glick.
Oh, okay.
From Dogma.
Dogma?
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of glad that I never got to see him be either not on the left or have no sense of humor. Because those are your only options presently.
I feel like he leaned left. At the same time, though, the older he got, the more anarchist he became.
Mm.
That is to say that he stopped leaning left and began leaning right into anarchism, straight into it, right? Like, I have very few rules, but one of the rules that I do have is I don't trust anything the government tells me.
Yeah.
In fact, if the government tells me it's a good idea to put on a hat, I'm not putting on a hat.
Well, and
that's why the coronavirus spreads so wide.
Yeah.
Because you anarchists wouldn't wear your face diaper.
Was the problem.
It's a big club.
And you ain't in it.
And you ain't in it.
And incidentally, the same club they used to beat you over the head with.
That's right.
Yeah, no, that is about as anarchist a statement as one can make.
Yeah, and you know, here in New Hampshire, part of his ashes were scattered out in Spofford, which is near here. It's like a 5-minute drive from New Hampshire. Apparently, he went to some sort of a summer camp for several years in a row out in Spofford.
All right.
And one of his dying wishes was for some of his ashes to be scattered in the Spofford area, Spofford Lake.
All right.
And so that's what happened, apparently. According to his people and his, you know, publications and that kind of a thing. So he is from New York, of course, right? But, like, he spent time up here in the Shire and was very fond of it. So fond that he wanted some of his ashes scattered here.
Nice. So
I appreciate that.
All right.
It's not why I moved here.
Like, I'd make a trip, but that seems like a weird move when he was an atheist.
I'd do it because, I mean, I also claimed atheist for quite some time.
Mm.
I claim agnostic at this point, not because I've really changed my perspective on religion.
Well, you can be an agnostic atheist.
But I just, like, it occurred to me that I don't know everything, right? And so I can't say factually, despite the overwhelming non-evidence that exists, right? I can't say factually that, you know, it's that I understand the world so much that I can say there is nothing that exists outside of my understanding. That would be dumb.
Right.
Right. And so I've you know, looked within myself and gone, are there things that I don't understand? Yep. All the time. Like, first of all, I barely understand how other people act most of the time.
With the atheist question, though, you don't carry the burden of proof.
Well, that's true.
You don't have to prove there is no God.
Well, I mean, if you were going to be a Gnostic atheist, which is what the famous one tends to be, is a Gnostic atheist, they are certain that there is no God. And they really want everyone else to know that there is no God and to agree with them about the absence of God. So that's a Gnostic atheist. And if you're going to be one of those, I'm sorry, at that point, you are shifting the burden of proof onto you. You have to disprove God at that point, which is kind of tough.
It's as impossible as the burden to prove God.
Right.
So it's irrelevant.
And
yeah, both
and
are impossible
things,
to prove.
On the other side
well,
of things,
no,
you've
but
got
the burden is on the positive. The burden is always on the positive claim.
Mm. Yeah, well, on the other side of things, you've got the Gnostic and agnostic theist. And most theists are Gnostic theists. They are certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt,
I know what agnostic is, what's Gnostic?
Gnostic means you know. Yeah. So if you're a Gnostic theist, you are certain.
Yeah.
Like, those are the kind that are like, you better do this or you're going to hell, I know for sure.
Right.
Whereas there are some people who, they believe in God, but they're still open to being wrong.
Yeah, well, no, they're not. Because you can't prove them wrong. It's impossible to prove them wrong.
As far as we know.
Well, this is the weird thing, right? As far as we know, it's impossible to prove them wrong. And to prove them wrong, you would use the same scientific methodology that they would need to prove themselves right.
Right. So and as far as we know, there's no way to prove or disprove the thing.
Well, there's plenty of ways to prove it. They've been unsuccessful in doing so. Show me God. That's it. Like if an alien being came down and demonstrated his ability to create things out of nothing,
mm-hmm.
right? And like, I'm going to create human, and then he just magically manifests a human being. Now you have evidence that that being itself has godlike traits.
Sure.
Right?
But that doesn't prove that that's God, though.
It's not, well...
It could very easily just be a human being with really advanced technology.
Well, maybe.
I mean, I'm still convinced...
Any technology advanced enough looks like magic.
I'm still convinced that religions, plural, took the idea of a being that is beyond our understanding and used it to create an environment of fear in order to control them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is why I originally claimed atheism, because I'm like, I want no part of these organizations that do nothing but create fear to control people. And then I discovered that this did not apply just to religions as I knew them at the time, that this thought also applied to another organization called government.
Yep.
Because it operates in the exact same way a religion does. It's got all the pageantry, it's got all the fear, it's got all the fire and brimstone and all that kind of stuff. And so I was like, And then, like, I lived through the creation of, like, Scientology, right? Like, right. I'm older than Scientology. I saw that come from wherever the hell it came from, right? L. Ron Hubbard, sat in the cupboard.
The science fiction writer.
Yeah. And, like, I've read some of his sci-fi mm-hmm. stuff, you know. Sure.
Even if he's a mediocre sci-fi writer, it was well played into the religious aspect of...
Yeah.
Thetans coming out of volcanoes and
so,
take over your body on Earth.
And so looking at all of that and then also applying that and how it applies to government, how people think and feel and act with government, I'm like, it's the same damn thing. Except for, like, religions, if you don't like the one you're in, for the most part, you can opt out.
Right.
Right? You can go, I don't want to be a part of your religion anymore. I'm going to go over here and be a part of this religion. Or
yeah.
I'm going to be a part of no religion whatsoever and let my spiritual experience be with me and whomever. Right?
Well, and that's why, based on Pieglis's definition, I would probably fall into the category of, like, Gnostic atheist. Right? Like, I have not seen sufficient evidence to change my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't need to provide any of my own, mostly because I'm not militant about it. Right. If you need religion or whatever it is to, like, be a good person and do the right thing, well, then I am glad you have it.
Right.
I'm not spending my time to convince you otherwise.
Yeah.
Until you morph that into, like, you know, the use of the state to attempt to change my behavior.
Right.
And then we got problems.
Right. And that's where I really do have a problem with religion, is the fact that religion was the first government.
Yep.
Right. Like, you go back in history, before the institution known as government existed, it was religion.
No, I gotta call you on that one. No, I think that government predates religion.
I don't think so.
Well, so...
Magic rectangle.
Okay, well, so... Well, no, I mean, let's just think about this. Let's run a thought experiment. So, if I hit you, and I take your stuff, I'm governing you. I mean, that's a tax. It's the same thing. Now, if I do this over and over again, and eventually you realize he has the power to overpower me, and you just, like, give me your stuff so that I don't have to hit you, I mean, that is exactly government. Now, that, as a dynamic, is simpler than religion. And since it's simpler, it's probably something that emerged earlier. Like, you can find that behavior in chimpanzees. And as far as I know, you can't find religious behavior in chimpanzees.
I think, once again, you're getting into the semantics of it. And if it was organized religion versus organized government, things would be different. Right? Because governance generally starts at the family level. Right? The first person that hits you is probably a parent governing your behavior in some manner.
Mm-hmm.
So, fine. Right? But we wouldn't call that government, generally, in common parlance.
So, right. And, like, everything that I'm seeing in front of me is, you know, something along those lines. It depends on your definition.
Right.
From July 4th, 2014, religion predates governments. It predates civilizations. But I believe religions are created for blah, 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 blah.
Well, and generally, the as far as the organization is concerned...
Right, and that's what I'm talking about, right?
People deferred toward the religious individual because they could perform the magic that nobody else understood.
Right, and also they were the ones going, and if you don't do what this magic book says, right, the Bible or whatever their
Or
their
I'm going to make it rain, or I'm going to scorch the sun.
Right, yeah, or if we don't throw somebody into the volcano, we won't have a harvest, or, you know, that kind of
right.
thing. Religion was the first form of organized government.
I would agree.
And then one day, somebody was like, we have to have separation of church and state.
Well, I don't know. Okay, so...
I think you're completely way off here. Okay. So if you have a predictable extraction of resources or force being used to alter someone else's behavior, that is government. You see that in chimp behavior.
Wait, what?
And so, yeah, I would absolutely say that, as you pointed out, yeah, family is usually where government starts. And if, in fact, families, stopped beating their children, for example, then we probably wouldn't have it in our minds
right.
that this is acceptable human behavior for when government does the same thing on a larger scale.
But we don't call a family a government, generally. Like, again, in common parlance.
Well, we don't call taxation theft in common parlance.
All right.
Does that make it not theft?
But tithing is the original taxation.
Right. And as far as the government is concerned, generally, like the monarchies, right, mm-hmm. that existed, it started with, I am God, right? And then it was, well, I'm ordained by God. And then it was, well, I speak on behalf of God.
Right. God speaks to me, and therefore I will relay the communication
right.
to you.
But
like,
it was,
you know.
It went through this progression because they couldn't keep up the facade that they are God.
Mm.
Right. And then as well, I'm not God, right? I'm ordained by God. I've spoken to God, and he's commanded me to be your master and your leader. And then when that didn't work, well, then it's, well, God speaks to me, and this I'm the messenger for God, right? And therefore, you must defer to me for all, you know, all communications to God.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts. Unscreened caller, what's your name, please? You're on Free Talk Live. You're on the air.
My name's Stefan. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hey, Stefan, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd like to add a comment on the religion discussion going on at the moment.
Sure.
First of all, I do believe the Sumerians predated Hinduism, the oldest known religion, by at least a few thousand years. So I think society and governance definitely came before religion. But what I called in to say was I am of the belief that the absence of evidence for anything is a good enough reason to disprove its existence. And furthermore, I get into a lot of discussions with fundamentalist Christians, especially given the fact that I went to seminary and used to be one of them,
mm-hmm.
which is the idea of, you know, you can't disprove my God any more than I can prove them, which certainly is not the case across the board, especially when you look at individual religions like Christianity, for example, where you have things like the global flood, which have been nominally disproven over and over again, based on the evidence we have and our understanding of the time period. So I definitely do believe that the burden of proof is always going to be on the individual making the claim. And if you are certain that there is no God, then the absolute absence of evidence for that is more than enough of a claim. That's the same way that I am 100% certain there is no afterlife, because it simply doesn't make any sense, and because it just cannot be possible.
It also can't be proven or disproven.
The afterlife absolutely can be disproven.
How so? Who knows what happens after
example,
you die?
This is the option I always like to use, right? Are you familiar with what a neutrino is?
The star, like the dead star?
So a neutrino is a tiny, tiny little particle.
Okay.
Its mass might actually be zero. They are so small that they phase through the Earth. And yet somehow we are able to detect these, not nearly as many as there actually are, but we're able to detect them. But when it comes to something like the soul, which is purported to be, you know, your inner mana, things like that, that carries on after death, we haven't been able to detect this. Now, if the soul is so important and integral to who you are and the being you are, why is it that we are unable to detect something that substantial? Now, we might have situations where it's like gravity, and people are saying, well, what if it's there and we just haven't detected yet? Well, for example, we don't know what gravity is, but we can detect the force coming off of it. And I think if there was something as powerful as a soul that can, you know, control their personality, who we are, you know, things like that.
So I generally agree with you on your position, but I want to pose, like, some questions that make more sense to stoners. Like, whoa.
Yeah, man.
So you're aware that there is light spectrums that the human eye cannot perceive.
Yes, but we've detected them.
And you're aware that there are sounds that the human ear cannot perceive.
Yes, but they have been detected.
And then, you know, there's the concept of nose blindness and taste blindness and all. Like, your five senses are not good enough to detect certain things.
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay. And so, just because we've detected certain things, again, could just be a limitation on the technology at the moment to detect what the Christians or the people who believe in the afterlife would claim to be the soul. Like, there could be certain things, as you said, neutrinos just floating through the earth, right, that are indetectable, or, you know, we're not able to perceive them, but exist outside of our realm of perception.
So all processes in our universe emit some form of heat, right?
No.
And they have some sort of energy to them, even if we don't understand what that energy is. And that's why...
Well, people said no, so he's challenging the premise.
Yeah, I mean, like, mm-hmm. gravity, for example, itself does not emit heat.
Sure it does. It emits waves.
Maybe. Like, there's some argument on that one still, but waves are not heat. Well, and
it's energy.
So hold on. I'd like to go back to what you were saying. So there are there's a spectrum of light that wasn't discovered until relatively recently.
Well, because you need the technology, you can't perceive it.
Right. So now, if your original starting point was true, then that couldn't possibly be so, because there was an absence of evidence of X-rays and gamma rays and so on and so forth, because those are too high frequency for us to detect through ordinary means. But that's the thing. There was absence of evidence, but that was not evidence that there was no such thing as X-rays and gamma rays.
Yeah, and when presented with evidence, I reserve the right to change my opinion. But until such time as evidence is presented, I maintain my claim.
Is that an inviolable right?
To have an opinion? Absolutely.
To change your opinion?
Yeah. It's an inviolable right. Hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us.
I will change my opinion, regardless.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Will Richie Rich be violable? Will Peakless Mountaineer be the violator? We'll find out. More Free Talk Live is on the way.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Tesla is recalling nearly 2 million electric vehicles due to safety concerns tied to its auto steer feature.
A forthcoming software update will enhance warnings for drivers and enable the automated feature to disengage when the vehicle is not on the road or if the driver is not sufficiently attentive. The Traffic Safety Administration initiated an investigation in 2021 following nearly a dozen reported incidents. I'm Dave Collins.
The Biden administration is unveiling its offshore drilling plan for the next 5 years. According to the Interior Department, three leases for drilling in U.S. waters are scheduled between 2024 and 2029. The American Petroleum Institute criticized the plan, stating that it fails to meet the energy needs of the American people. Environmental groups also expressed concern, asserting that the dangerous cycle of drilling and spilling must end. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Words you're not allowed to say.
Yes, otherwise these mother FCCers might have a problem with it.
You've got such an extended vocabulary, just don't use seven of them and you're fine.
FCC me in the donkey because I love Jesus.
In the donkey.
Yeah.
The other day, I think it was Steve Classic, he was like, can we say the D word?
No, that was me.
Was it you?
Yeah.
And I was like, let's go with Richard.
Yeah, that was me.
But, like, yeah, you could say Dick.
Okay.
But it was interesting that, like I think in a caller even said, yeah, he was being a Richard, right? I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Everybody's seeing Richard now.
Well, and it's because, like, it was the Stefan Molyneux thing about, you know, organizing society peacefully. If you just don't be a dick,
right,
then things go smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a well-overlooked thing, particularly, I think, or I feel anyway, evidence, I don't know. But I feel like the amount of minutiae arguments that I've seen amongst libertarian types, voluntarists, anarchists, you know, libertarians, that kind of thing, is that they're totally forgetting about don't be a dick.
Yep.
Right? Like, I think, like, the non-aggression principle and don't be a dick need to be on equal terms. Right? Well, they need to be as flouted, as, held up as a thing, because, like, without the don't be a dick one, everybody's kind of a dick.
Maybe, but there's...
and then we all starve to death.
But you can be that guy, right, wherever you... just don't be that guy, right? You can be that guy and still not violate the non-aggression principle. Just no one wants to be around you. Right. So well, then and you're here's that something guy that alone.
People don't realize about the whole non-aggression principle thing. There's always that possibility where it's like, okay, well, you were doing something that is technically non-aggressive, but I value harming you more than I value my continued, like, status as someone that others do not aggress upon. Okay. That is the thing that happens, so don't be a dick.
Well, humans are humans, right? Like, the non-aggression principle...
Them's fighting words.
...is something, you know, that I would hope most people can get down with, right? Like... Yeah. It's that old kindergarten thing, do unto others, right? Don't hit, don't steal, don't take people's stuff, right? These are just simple concepts that we all learned as children.
Yeah.
That we all agree are pretty good concepts.
But if you're going like, I'm not touching you, and then you get punched in the face, you probably should have saw it coming.
That right. And that's what I'm saying is like, humans are humans, and they're going to do human things, which is why I think Peakless and I have talked about this frequently. The opportunity for redemption needs to exist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if you add, don't be a dick,
yeah,
right, then you also must take into account redemption. So if you ever are a dick and you realize you've been one, you're going to be like, dude, I'm totally sorry. I was a dick. How can I make it up to you? Or here's a token of my, you know, whatever.
But if you're being that guy, if you're being a dick and someone punches you, right, then who needs to apologize to whom and who needs to be redeemed?
Well, the guy who punches you is no longer entitled to my not punching him.
Yeah, okay. The aggressor.
Until he redeems himself?
Until he redeems himself.
What about the guy being a dick?
What about him?
Well, Captain just said...
He has a right to me not punching him, and that's all he has a right to.
Okay.
He does not have a right to me undermining every aspect of his life.
Okay. I mean, Captain, we were talking about redemption as the guy who, being a dick, needed to be redeemed.
I want to talk about somebody who, at least in this particular instance, is not being a dick.
Amplifier?
That's an amplifier. Ooh. That's right.
Ooh, the opposite of being a dick.
This particular person has visited Amps... .freetalklive.com, where he has decided to give $5 per month to the AMPS program. Oh, what is an AMPS program? Well, AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And so Jesse Thomas is today's amplifier. Normally I insert a joke about never trust a man with two first names, but because he's an amplifier, I'll leave that one be.
Ron Paul.
Ooh.
Politician.
Okay, I trust him.
So
you would.
Okay. So Jesse Thomas is a silver level amplifier, and he gets $5 a month because, I presume, he enjoys the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the listeners, the message of peace, freedom, prosperity that we bring to the airwaves. And, more importantly, he wants to see this show grow. We're on around 180, maybe 200 radio stations right now. We could be on 250, 300. 350 is not out of the question, or more. It's all up to you, the listeners. If you like this program, if you like the content, if you enjoy the message that we bring, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again to Jesse Thomas.
One of these days you're going to thank someone who just forgot to cancel their subscription.
I'm pretty sure I've done that already.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Well, thank you for that last one anyway.
Yeah. Thank you for not canceling your subscription. We appreciate you. So we've been talking about, well, we've kind of been all over the place with religion and atheism. And
oh, I wanted to make just one quick note on the, like, well, if the soul's this powerful thing, then why haven't we had some detection of it? It's like, okay, dark matter, dark energy, we have no detection of those, but people believe they exist and they're intensely powerful. And there's this thing called renormalization, where they, like, cancel out this insane amount of energy because it all seems to be balanced everywhere in the universe. So there's wiggle room.
I think, well, I would suggest that that's your language at work, right? It's an unknown phenomenon of which they put a label on.
Okay. Cool.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like, that is the sort of a thing that is indicative of the possibility of something like a soul in the sense of like a physical thing as opposed to like a social thing,
sure.
Which as a social thing, it's a really useful construct because it lets us do morality like really quickly and easily.
Sure. Again, as far as the constructs are concerned, useful for certain things, but not really existing.
I'm pretty sure that Peakless, you're familiar with Peter St. Ange.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Nope.
He's an economist.
Okay. I listen to his weekly roundup podcast.
He does a great podcast. He's on the Twitter, and I follow him there.
Okay.
He's great on particularly from like our perspective.
Okay.
I don't know if he himself is a libertarian, ANCAP, anarcho-capitalist,
anarchist,
anything. I have no idea, but like. It would actually mean more to me if he's not, because like his presentation almost caters specifically to people who are.
Okay.
So at any rate.
Well, I think what happened to him is the same thing that happens to everyone who learns Austrian economics.
He is a doctor, by the way, PhD.
Like, okay. Once you learn Austrian economics, you either become good or evil. Either you use this knowledge to be horrible to everyone for your own advantage, you know, like your John D. Rockefeller, that sort of type, or you go, oh, I'd like to not be evil.
So this is from profstange.com, profstange.com, so his own blog.
All right.
Fed delivers the champagne to Wall Street and to Joe Biden's reelection. It's Christmas on Wall Street as the long-awaited pivot is here, with Jerome Powell announcing the Fed's giving up on inflation and turning to that long-promised recession.
Giving up? What does that even mean?
The so-called Federal Reserve dot plot, which measures Fed members' rate projections, went dovish, meaning inflationary, for the first time since the pandemic. Can you expand on that in layman's terms? What does he mean? The so-called Federal Reserve dot plot, which measures Fed members' rate projections, went dovish, meaning inflationary, for the first time since the pandemic.
Yeah, so I think that everyone's making a much bigger deal out of this than it looks to me like it is. But so here's what happened. Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, got up there and talked about this and released this plot of like, okay, here is what the several members of the Federal Reserve, we each got together and we will release this anonymously, but each one of these dots represents what we think the future federal funds rate will be for the next 3 years.
Okay, so continuing on, Bloomberg was downright giddy, trumpeting that the great monetary pivot of 2024 is nigh. Stocks, bonds, and currencies all soared as the financial markets filled up the punch bowl and lined up the Coke and hookers just when Joe Biden's election campaign needed them most.
Yeah, I'd also like to point out that even on the dot plot, two of the dots, who knows which two those are, but two of the dots said, no, it is going to be completely exactly where it is right now for all of 2024.
Sorry, fill me back in a little bit because there's a lot of language in there that I'm trying to wrap my head around.
So basically the Fed got up, they drew a graph some dots on
it. What do these dots represent? Like where they think the interest rates are going to be?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. What each of them makes their guess of what the average federal funds rate is going to be for these years. And two of them guessed that that next year it's going to be exactly where it is right now on average all through the year. And the rest of them guessed that it will be lower as an average next year.
And people got excited on Wall Street that it was going, that the projection is going to be lower.
Right.
Okay.
So excited. Well, we'll find out in a minute. All courtesy of a Federal Reserve that apparently has traded the Paul Volcker baseball cards for a very clever inflation fighting strategy of let her rip and hope for the best. Indeed, Mike Alfred ventured that Janet Yellen and the big guy himself, who? Janet Yellen, intervened with some pointed dialogue with Jerome Powell about their ability to punish the Fed for wrong think.
So, okay, if we go back to your claim about the Austrian economists and the Austrian economics,
mm-hmm.
right, the inflation, they control the inflation.
They're in charge of the money supply, at least for the United States. They're the central bank.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if they want to reduce inflation,
well, kinda. So they are in control of it, sorta. So the
well,
other
they control
side of,
the inflation, they don't
well,
control the effects.
Well, so here's the thing. The other thing is that, and this is sort of the unspoken actual thing that the Fed does, is the money printing.
Mm.
But the money printing is done at the behest of Congress. So Congress says, we're going to spend this much more money than we took in taxes.
Okay.
Now, at that point, I mean, there's not much
the Federal Reserve's hands are tied.
Right. They have to wiggle something or waggle another something so that that much money comes into the federal government's spending budget.
So what's the point of calling it separate and, you know, not a real government agency?
Well, we get to pretend that the government doesn't print money.
Right.
Because that would be illegal if that's what they were doing.
I thought they were just compelled to buy treasury bonds, and that's how the money got introduced.
We'll get to the point of this in just a minute, but we're sort of, you guys are talking sort of around the happenings, right? The thing that happened is, you know, the Fed got up, they did a song and dance. Right, and then what
Same
happened?
Old story.
And then what happened?
And everyone's like, "It's party time!"
Markets reacted like a San Francisco junkie on a UBI.
Yep,
pooping in the street
with literally everything China. Going up except the dollar
on Wall Street,
including gold, which rallied $60 in the space of hours. As Bloomberg approvingly put it, virtually no corner of financial markets was left out. It was the biggest one-day rally since 2009, again, with the exception of the dollar. Notably, the exception of the dollar, right?
Okay.
Everything else, they did this, like, big song and dance, big PowerPoint presentation, big, you know, graph with dots, and the market was like, yeah! But, like, the dollar remained unaffected.
Right.
Notably.
Yeah.
Why did markets go wild? Well, because despite ongoing inflation, Jerome Powell just signaled the green light for a speculative mania. Last year was a lean one on the street, with Dark Jerome warning that pain is coming as he strangled financial markets to clear room for the federal government to spend everything their dark little hearts crave. Now Jerome apparently traded his dark warnings about exuberance with all but begging Wall Street to exuberate away. The problem is, given inflation's nowhere near licked, this is essentially the Fed giving up. In a recent article, Peter St. Ange worried about the Fed repeating the catastrophic events of the 1970s stagflation, when it eased in the eye of the storm and setting off another inflationary crisis. In fact, looking at core inflation, it's merely running at double the Fed's target. Yet, here's Jerome desperately flicking matches on the next tissue fire boom.
So, again, help me out. What does the Fed giving up, quote unquote, look like?
Okay, so what everyone thinks that the Fed has done is that they will no longer be suppressing prices by having these high interest rates.
Okay.
Now, that's what everyone has come to the conclusion that this means, that it means, A, there's not going to be any further rate hikes.
Okay.
And B, that the rates will, in fact, come down.
Okay.
Both of which mean that there's going to be easier money for everybody than if they hiked rates again.
Okay.
So inflating
another bubble.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though. They didn't actually do anything. They kept rates exactly where they were at, but they announced that in the future, they will bring them down at some point next year.
Everybody went, yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, that's how speculation works.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it's worth pointing out that if they ever do, we are going to see a stock crash. Like, almost, I'm pretty sure, like, every single time. No, there were two times where they brought rates down and it didn't immediately get followed by a recession.
Okay.
And a stock crash. Because, like, whenever they bring the rates down, it signals that, hey, we had to bring the rates down because something's broken. So everyone goes, crap, I don't know what's broken. They sell all their stocks. Stock market plummets in a flash crash. Then people, like, kind of figure out what it was that broke, and they reallocate their resources. So a bunch of very rich people get stocks very, very cheap, and everyone's retirement plan takes a serious hit.
Yeah, because you've gotten out of the stocks and into a devalued dollar.
Right.
All right.
So what's next? The Fed's praying for a soft landing, but the biggest problem is it's not going to work. This says the Federal Reserve.
Nice.
The Federal Reserve has never, in its 110 years of existence, pulled off a soft landing. Yeah, keep in mind the Fed is only 110 years old.
Already devalued the dollar down to nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The media hypes it every time, but it's a myth, a mirage, a fairy tale to help Wall Street traders sleep. In fact, the Federal Reserve has a single recession play. Hike till it breaks, then flood money to bail them out. The Fed just advanced us to the next stage to the 70s. What comes next is mass bankruptcies, layoffs, and daily articles about the famous misery index that we thought were a distant memory.
Let's pretend for a moment that we don't care about cryptocurrency. I know it's difficult, but for the people who are in the stock market who aren't going to move into crypto.
I remember that dark world.
Well, there are people in the stock market.
I was
and the Fed. Oh, sorry.
There are people in the stock market aren't going to get into crypto. Don't care about crypto. That's not where they're going to move their money.
Okay, fine.
Fools, fine. Right? Like, what's
hypothetically speaking?
What is their play?
Gold.
Okay.
Yeah. Gold. Real estate, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
stock market crashes, real estate, and gold goes up.
Yeah.
Right? I have to think so. Real estate's kind of a sticky wicket because of the way it's all like financed and taxed and the banks and all that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, owning land almost is never a bad idea.
Yeah, it's kind of how they at least used to bribe their voter base.
Okay.
Was because you had a whole bunch of voters. The like largest chunk of voters was, you know, baby boomers, most of which like owned their own home.
Boomers?
So the people with the money already have the land because poor people don't have land or houses.
Right.
And it's gotten worse over the last few years.
So your question is, what's the poor people?
It's going to get better. It's not going to. Well, my question was the people on Wall Street.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Like the people with the poor people, they have like no choice in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just going to get poorer because they can't do anything.
A lot of them are going to buy treasuries, which is, it's their version of having dollars.
Okay. I just don't know how you get, I don't know how you go from like stocks, which presumably indicate some sort of value in whatever company you're mm-hmm. buying into worthless dollars, and that's like the best play you have.
Like,
that's selling everything.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, because dollars have a predictable rate of decline.
Okay.
Whereas stocks have a completely unpredictable outcome.
Well,
and if you look at the big movers and shakers, Berkshire Hathaway, J.P. Morgan, like the heads of these things are selling huge amounts of their stocks.
Got it.
So, yeah, that is exactly what they're doing. They're moving from stocks, which tend to go up, but sometimes crash, into dollars. Now,
right.
If you wait until the stock market crash, and you're already in dollars, and then when there's so-called blood in the streets, even if it's yours, that's when you buy. You spend your dollars, or dollar equivalents, you know, sell your treasuries, whatever, to get those stocks. Then you get right back in where you were on the cheap, have a whole bunch of extra money, and have more stock.
I want to give, like, just a little bit of a 101 to the lay people in listener land, because when we start talking about economics, there is all this like language that, like, when you start using these words, people sort of like what that means, and they kind of tune out or whatever. So as a person who spent a large portion of his life very poor, I can tell you the layman's version of some of these things. So you're living paycheck to paycheck. You make less than what your outgo is. You're just worried about buying food, paying your rent, that kind of a thing. How can you possibly shield yourself from this oncoming economic storm?
That would be good information.
Mm. So the first thing I want you to understand is, what is an asset? Right. When we talk about economics, oftentimes people say, well, you have to leverage your assets. OK, so in poor man's terms, me having been a formerly poor person, the only asset that I really ever had was an electric guitar.
Hmm.
Right. Now, this asset I was able to leverage by taking it to the pawn shop and obtaining a loan on said guitar.
Right.
Let's say the guitar was worth $500. You take it to the pawn shop, at most they're going to give you like $100 on a loan that you have to pay within 30 days. Hopefully you've, you know, looked ahead at your pay schedule, what, you know, your rent is doing, right, what your bills are, and you've determined that, yes, I can indeed either pay back this loan in its entirety or at least pay the interest on it when the 30-day period ends so that I can buy myself another 30 days to pay off the whole thing. So let's say the interest rate is $30, right? You borrow $100, you owe $130 to get your $500 guitar back. Right, you're leveraging the asset, the guitar. Leveraging means pawning, right? You're getting money. Somebody's loaning you something on your asset so that you can pay your bills.
Right. Right?
This is layman 101.
Yeah. Leveraging your asset is using your asset as collateral for a loan.
Right. So that you can maintain whatever, you know, your lifestyle is, pay your bills, pay your mortgage, whatever it is. That's kind of the thing. So now you've engaged in a market opportunity, right, where now you have to figure out how you're going to get the money to pay that off, right? And with a pawn shop loan, you know, it's pretty easy. You either pay it off in full, get your guitar back, or you pay the $30 and they renew it for a period, whatever that period is. Some pawn shops are 1 month, 30 days. Some pawn shops are 90 days. So that $30 might be due in 90 days just to renew the loan. They'll continue to hold on to your asset until you either pay it off, you or pay the interest, or you do neither, and then you have lost the asset. The asset now becomes theirs.
I was just helping poor people.
I'm explaining terminology.
Okay.
All right. Poor people frequently believe that they have no leverage. Because living paycheck to paycheck, I can't save anything. I can't buy real estate.
I'm not gonna pawn my food.
I can't. Well, no, you can't. But oftentimes people neglect to look at what they do have as an asset that they can leverage. And so that's all that means is that you have something that somebody else might value. You can sell it. You can get a loan on it. These are things that a lot of people don't take advantage of.
And buy into the stock market when it's blood in the streets.
I'd put it into something like crypto myself, but that's just. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up, including who hands out medical records.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.